Welcome to day 175 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. Today we will be reading 2 Chronicles chapters 10, 11, and 12 from the New American Standard Bible. We will hear another account of the beginning of the reign of Rehoboam, which was King Solomon's eldest son. And we will hear again how Rehoboam started out his reign with a very foolish decision to take the counsel of the young men that he grew up with rather than the counsel of the elders about how to handle his kingdom. And it resulted in him losing the majority of the tribes to another man whose name was Jeroboam. But in this case, we'll hear some more detail about Rehoboam's reign, and it will give you some interesting detail about how he conducted himself, and in the end, how he actually humbled himself before the Lord. So beginning in 2 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 1. Then Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. When Jeroboam the son of Nebat heard of it, for he was in Egypt, where he had fled from the presence of King Solomon, Jeroboam returned from Egypt. So they sent and summoned him. When Jeroboam and all Israel came, they spoke to Rehoboam, saying, "Your father made our yoke hard. Now, therefore, lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put on us, and we will serve you." He said to them, "Return to me again in 3 days." So the people departed. Then King Rehoboam consulted with the elders who had served his father Solomon while he was still alive, saying, "How do you counsel me to answer this people?" They spoke to him, saying, "If you will be kind to this people and please them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever." But he forsook the counsel of the elders which they had given him and consulted with the young men who grew up with him and served him. So he said to them, "What counsel do you give that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, 'Lighten the yoke which your father put on us'?" The young men who grew up with him spoke to him, saying, "Thus you shall say to the people who spoke to you, saying, 'Your father made our yoke heavy, but you shall make it lighter for us.' Thus you shall say to them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's loins. Whereas my father loaded you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions.'" So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day, as the king had directed, saying, "Return to me on the third day." The king answered them harshly, and King Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the elders. He spoke to them according to the advice of the young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to it. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions." So the king did not listen to the people, for it was a turn of events from God, that the Lord might establish his word, which he spoke through Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. When all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, saying, "What portion do we have in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to your tents, O Israel. Now look after your own house, David." So all Israel departed to their tents. But as for the sons of Israel who lived in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Hadoram, who was over the forced labor, and the sons of Israel stoned him to death. And King Rehoboam made haste to mount his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. Chapter 11. Now, when Rehoboam had come to Jerusalem, he assembled the house of Judah and Benjamin, 180,000 chosen men who were warriors, to fight against Israel, to restore the kingdom to Rehoboam. But the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, "Speak to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all Israel in Judah and Benjamin, saying, Thus says the Lord, you shall not go up or fight against your relatives. Return every man to his house, for this thing is from me." So they listened to the words of the Lord and returned from going against Jeroboam. Rehoboam lived in Jerusalem and built cities for defense in Judah. Thus he built Bethlehem, Etam, Tekoa, Bethzur, Soko, Adullam, Gath, Marashah, Ziph, Adoraim, Lachish, Azekah, Zorah, Ajalon, and Hebron, which are fortified cities in Judah and in Benjamin. He also strengthened the fortresses and put officers in them and stores of food, oil, and wine. He put shields and spears in every city and strengthened them greatly. So he held Judah and Benjamin. Moreover, the priests and the Levites who were in all Israel stood with him from all their districts. For the Levites left their pasture lands and their property and came to Judah and Jerusalem. For Jeroboam and his sons had excluded them from serving as priests to the Lord. He set up priests of his own for the high places, for the satyrs, and for the calves which he had made. Those from all the tribes of Israel who set their hearts on seeking the Lord God of Israel followed them to Jerusalem to sacrifice to the Lord God of their fathers. They strengthened the kingdom of Judah and supported Rehoboam the son of Solomon for 3 years, for they walked in the way of David and Solomon for 3 years. Then Rehoboam took as a wife Mahalath, the daughter of Jeremoth, the son of David, and of Abihail, the daughter of Eliab, the son of Jesse. And she bore him sons, Jeush, Shemariah, and Zaham. After he took Maacah, the daughter of Absalom, and she bore him Abijah, Attai, Ziza, and Shelomith. Rehoboam loved Maacah, the daughter of Absalom, more than all his other wives and concubines, for he had taken 18 wives and 60 concubines, and fathered 28 sons and 60 daughters. Rehoboam appointed Abijah, the son of Maacah, as head and leader among his brothers, for he intended to make him king. He acted wisely and distributed some of his sons through all the territories of Judah and Benjamin to all the fortified cities, and he gave them food in abundance, and he sought many wives for them. Chapter 12. When the kingdom of Rehoboam was established and strong, he and all Israel with him forsook the law of the Lord. And it came about in King Rehoboam's 5th year, because they had been unfaithful to the Lord, that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem with 1,200 chariots and 60,000 horsemen. And the people who came with him from Egypt were without number, the Lubim, the Sukkim, and the Ethiopians. He captured the fortified cities of Judah and came as far as Jerusalem. Then Shemaiah the prophet came to Rehoboam and the princes of Judah who had gathered at Jerusalem because of Shishak. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord, you have forsaken me, so I also have forsaken you to Shishak." So the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves and said, "The Lord is righteous." When the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, saying, "They have humbled themselves, so I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some measure of deliverance. And my wrath shall not be poured out on Jerusalem by means of Shishak, but they will become his slaves, so they may learn the difference between my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries." So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. and took the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's palace. He took everything. He even took the golden shields which Solomon had made. Then King Rehoboam made shields of bronze in their place and committed them to the care of the commanders of the guard who guarded the door of the king's house. As often as the king entered the house of the Lord, the guards came and carried them and then brought them back into the guard's room. And when he had humbled himself, the anger of the Lord turned away from him so as not to destroy him completely. And also, conditions were good in Judah. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. Now Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen from all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah the Ammonitess. He did evil because he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. Now the acts of Rehoboam, from first to last, are they not written in the records of Shemaiah the prophet and of Iddo the seer, according to genealogical enrollment? And there were wars between Rehoboam and Jeroboam continually. And Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, and his son Abijah became king in his place. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's devotional, I want to focus on the influence of parents and the future of their children. Today's story about Rehoboam, the son of King Solomon, and his reign and how he handled his responsibilities of being the king of Israel is very, very revealing for us. Rehoboam, having been raised in the lavish court of King Solomon, surrounded by wealth, privilege, and really extravagant living in every sense of the word, had hardly been prepared for leadership by his father Solomon. And in fact, when he did assume the throne, he ended up making one of the most foolish decisions ever made by an incoming king. If you remember, with Solomon, he made one of the wisest decisions when he first assumed the throne of his father David. That wise decision was to ask the Lord for wisdom and understanding so that he could be a good ruler for the people of Israel. So we say about Solomon that he started out his reign as king very well, humbly looking to the Lord for wisdom and guidance. And as a result of doing that, God gave him a supernatural gift of wisdom that was so outstanding that it made him one of the wisest men that ever lived on the earth. Rehoboam, on the other hand, started out his reign in the most foolish way that a leader could assume a new position. He started by, first of all, taking very unwise counsel from young men who had been raised with him. Now think about that for a moment. His companions, those young men who'd been raised in the royal court with wealth all around, no hardship ever in their lives, never facing the reality of life that people in the kingdom faced on a daily basis, they were very much out of touch with how the people of Israel lived, because they lived in quite really a fantasy land, surrounded by gold and pleasure all the time. Solomon had 1,000 women, 700 wives, 300 concubines. It was a place where self-indulgence reigned. And so it was both an unrealistic and a situation that made those young men, including Rehoboam himself, quite out of touch with the reality of daily life of the people of Israel. So when he took the throne, And the people came and asked him to lighten the taxation burden that King Solomon had placed upon them, which was what funded the lavish lifestyle of the palace of Solomon. He had no common sense in answering those people. He told them to come back in 3 days after he thought about it. He consults with the young men and he consults with the elders. The elders give him wise, wise counsel and say to him, if you will be kind to this people and please them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. And this was wise counsel. He's the incoming king. He has a chance to endear himself to the people, to bring them into unity, to have them embrace him as their leader, a leader who cares about them, is sensitive to their needs. And this is exactly what the elders encourage him to do. Speak kindly to them, be thoughtful, think about what they need, and then they will be loyal to you. So the elders gave him wise counsel. They were quite aware that Solomon had burdened the people of Israel in a very unfair way to fund his lavish lifestyle. And they knew that it had become a yoke upon the people that was almost unbearable, and that they were just so weighed down and oppressed by it that they were anxious to have that yoke taken off of their lives. And so they counseled King Rehoboam well. But then he listened to the young men who basically encouraged him to be arrogant and harsh with them and act like the tough guy. I'm going to be this harsh taskmaster and I'm going to order you around. It was completely foolish. It was guaranteed to incite a riot and a rebellion in the entire nation. And yet those young men gave him this counsel to speak like he was this big tough man who's going to beat them down. Rehoboam probably didn't even have that in his heart to do himself, but he took the young men's counsel and spoke with these harsh words. You think my father was bad? Wait till you see how I'm going to be toward you. I'm going to discipline you with scorpions. It was the most ridiculous thing to do. It didn't even make any common sense, but it showed how out of touch Rehoboam was with the people of the nation. And it was most likely that Solomon had been, in a sense, a very bad father. He did not prepare his son for leadership. He did not give him a good example, though Solomon himself had been a good administrator. He was great at projects. He was great at taking care of the nation in the sense of building it up to be a great power. But he also had become out of touch with the people, and the lavishness of his lifestyle only increased. His self-indulgence increased. He drifted so far from the Lord, so he was no longer taking the counsel of God. And so when it was time to begin to raise his son up to become a leader and prepare him for leadership, the great wise man Solomon, by that point, had gone into a spiritual decline that took him far from God and far from wisdom, and he was indulging himself in all kinds of lascivious activity with all these women he had brought from all these heathen nations. They turned his heart away from God, and he's out worshiping at these false idols, and he was in no position as a father or even as a leader to develop the leader that was coming behind him. And so by the time Rehoboam should have been being trained by Solomon, Solomon's spiritual condition had so deteriorated, he was in no position to raise him up to be a good leader after his reign ended. And then we have the influence of his mother. And you could say that this only added to Rehoboam's improper training or lack of training and lack of good input from his parents. There is one very critical scripture that gives us a very clear picture. It says this: Rehoboam's mother's name was Naamah the Ammonitess. That is one line in this entire passage about Rehoboam's life, but it gives us important information. His mother was heathen. She did not honor God, know God. She was not a Hebrew. She followed the false idols of her nation and her culture, and she was not able to in any way influence him spiritually in any good way, only in a bad way. And so because of this heathen input from his mother, the lack of input from his father, who should have had wisdom to impart to him, but he was in his own spiritual decline by the time Rehoboam was of age to be trained for leadership, the influence of these two parents combined gave King Rehoboam a very poor foundation. And that is why he was able to be influenced by the young men that grew up with him when he had to make a critical decision in the earliest part of his reign. And this really goes to show us a very important aspect of life, that parental influence is very critical in the development of a child and of a young adult and then of an adult. The input from the mother and the father, the spiritual example, the spiritual input, the natural example of conducting oneself in life and being wise about decisions of life. Solomon obviously never gave Rehoboam any type of responsibility or in any way developed him in the area of increasing responsibility as he became older. He simply was raised in the court with people waiting on him hand and foot. He was basically spoiled, self-indulgent, had no idea of how to exercise self-control or have a wise thought in his mind. Instead, he made this foolish decision in the earliest part of his reign. The result was national disaster. It resulted in the kingdom of Israel being divided and most of the tribes following this man named Jeroboam, who led them in false idol worship himself, setting up idols in two of the cities in Israel. And so the kingdom being divided and in Israel, the tribes of Israel being in rebellion against the house of David and Judah, which was the established king's lineage that God wanted for the nation of Israel. It was national disaster was the result of Rehoboam's poor decision in the very earliest weeks of his reign as king. He ended up having to flee to Jerusalem and stay there just to hold on to what he could hold on to, which was the tribe of Judah. And then there were Levites from the tribe of Levi who came and stayed in Jerusalem because they refused to have anything to do with Jeroboam's false worship of these false gods. Of course, he didn't include them, but they wouldn't have had anything to do with it anyway because they were dedicated to the one true God. So the Levites literally came from all over the country once Jeroboam started setting up his own false high places in the country. They fled, they came to Jerusalem, they left all their land behind, and they joined themselves to Rehoboam and supported him, even though he wasn't a wise king. But at least in those early years, it says, for 3 years they did walk in the way of David and Solomon. The early part of his reign, he stayed with the Lord, though his initial decision was very poor. But then he began to drift away from the Lord. And as the years went by in Rehoboam's reign, even though he only had a small amount as far as numbers go of the nation of Israel under his authority, which was the house of Judah, and then some Levites, and then some of the house of Benjamin stayed with him as well. Some of the tribe of Benjamin stayed with Rehoboam. People who had a heart for the Lord stayed with Rehoboam, Solomon's son, because in those early years, he did continue to worship the one true God. But as his time went on and things solidified in the Judah camp of Judah, the nation of Judah, because now they're divided and there's Judah and there's Israel. So Rehoboam had Judah. So when things started to get more secure, things were peaceful, the country felt confident in their king, even though they didn't have these other tribes in united with them any longer, once everything became more peaceful, then it says that Rehoboam, when he was established and strong, he and all of the Israelites that were with him forsook the law of the Lord. And it came about in the fifth year of Rehoboam's reign, because they had been unfaithful to the Lord, that the king of Egypt came up against Jerusalem with this vast army. Vast. It says the people were literally without number. And he ended up capturing cities of Judah, came as far as Jerusalem. And when they got close to Jerusalem and they wanted to raid that famous city, because everyone in the known world at that time knew how wealthy Solomon had been, how much gold was reputed to be in the city of Jerusalem, how gold just was everywhere in the temple. Everyone knew about this. And so the Egyptian king was ready to go take some of that loot from Jerusalem. And the Lord allowed this to take place because Rehoboam and the Israelites who were following him at that time had also turned their backs on the Lord, started being unfaithful to God, started worshiping false idols themselves. And the scripture tells us in that 12th chapter of 2 Chronicles that a prophet came to Rehoboam the king, whose name was Shemaiah, and he said, "Thus says the Lord, you have forsaken me, so I also have forsaken you," to Shishak, the king of Egypt. And so when that word of the Lord came to King Rehoboam and all the princes of Israel, which were his sons, they humbled themselves, the scripture says. The princes and the king humbled themselves and said, "The Lord is righteous." And then when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, then the Lord relented and says, "I will grant them some measure of deliverance. I won't destroy them. And my wrath will not be poured out on Jerusalem by the king of Egypt." But this is an interesting scripture, the eighth verse. It says, "But they will become his slaves so that they may learn the difference between my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. Now that's an interesting scripture. God's saying to them, you're going to learn what it's like to be in bondage to these other nations instead of being in service to me. If you had been in service to me, you served me with all your heart, you loved me, you honored me, you followed me, you would find out what it's like to be in service to me, the one true God, rather than being in bondage to the kingdoms of this world. And the Lord allowed this invasion of Jerusalem. The king of Egypt came up, took all the treasure from the house of the Lord, it says. The treasure of the king's palace. He took everything. He even took the gold shields which Solomon had made. And he looted that temple. He looted the palace and carried off everything they could carry off till the gold was no more. Imagine that. Somehow King Rehoboam wasn't killed in that process. The Lord allowed him to live, and the purpose was to teach him what it was like to be in bondage to the world, the kingdoms of this world. The kingdoms of this world will take you into bondage. And that was the message the Lord wanted him to know. If you don't serve me, you end up in bondage to the kingdoms of this world. And they experienced it in a very natural way, in the sense that literally the king of Egypt came in and stole from them and brought them into poverty because of their disobedience of the Lord. And yet, because he had humbled his heart, the Lord did not allow King Rehoboam and Jerusalem to be destroyed. And even in contrast to his father Solomon, who started out humbling himself, but he ended very poorly, far from God, King Rehoboam was almost the opposite. He started out in a terrible way, making a foolish decision in the early days of his reign as king, which cost him the kingdom being split. And yet later on, he humbled himself before the Lord. He started out proud, arrogant, talking harshly to the people, destroying the kingdom in the process. And then later on, he humbled himself. And in his latter years, he did serve the Lord in a fashion. And so he actually ended better than he started. Solomon ended worse than he started. Solomon started out humble and ended up far from God. Rehoboam started out proud and far from God, but ended up humble and closer to God. So it's an interesting contrast between father and son, Solomon and his son Rehoboam. But we get one key verse from all of this that we heard today, and it's the 14th verse of chapter 12 of 2 Chronicles, and it tells us really why Rehoboam failed. It says these words: he did evil because he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. So it explains to us in that one verse that Rehoboam's failure couldn't even be blamed on his father Solomon's lack of good mentoring. It couldn't even be blamed on his mother's heathen ways. It says Rehoboam did evil because he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. This is a word for us. Parental influence does make a tremendous difference in a child's life. But God does not let any of us blame our parents for how we turn out as adults, because once we are of age to make our own decisions, we can set our heart to seek the Lord, and the Lord himself can help us, raise us up, and use us for his glory and his good purposes. And this scripture shows us, though the influence of father and mother were very critical in Rehoboam's life, we cannot blame them for Rehoboam's decisions as an adult, because it says here, he did evil because he didn't set his heart to seek the Lord. Later on in the history of Israel, we will see kings who had very bad parents who ended up being very good kings because they did set their hearts to seek the Lord themselves. Even though their parents did not seek God, that individual sought the Lord with all his heart and ended up being one of the greatest kings in the history of Israel. And we'll hear those stories later on. Josiah and Jehoshaphat and different ones that we will hear about whose parents weren't great in influencing them for the Lord, and yet they sought the Lord themselves as adults and ended up being good leaders for the nation of Israel. So though a parental influence is very important, and if you're a parent today, you do have a great responsibility to influence your children, to give a good example in life to your children, to speak to them about the Lord, to live a life of Christian love and seeking of God and pursuing the Lord yourself before your children, to lay a foundation for them that they can build on in their own relationship with the Lord. This is a truth that all of us who are parents must embrace, that it's a call of God to be godly parents, to raise up the next generation. All of that is true. But if you yourself did not have good parents, maybe they were not saved, maybe they were alcoholics, maybe your parents abandoned you, There could be all kinds of reasons that you did not have a good foundation in your own life to build upon. But God Himself is your Father, and He will give you a good foundation Himself. But He requires you to make a decision to set your heart to seek the Lord. And if you do that, God will bless you. God will help you. God will prosper you. God will give you wisdom. God will raise you up Himself. God will set you on high. He will fulfill His purpose for your life. All of that is true if you can set your heart to seek the Lord and set aside any blame of parents. It would be good if every parent was a blessing to their children, but the reality is we live in a fallen world. People are sinners, and there are many sinners who are having children and raising children or not raising their children, and they don't lay a good foundation for those children. But we are not dependent upon that. We are dependent upon God, and if you will set your heart to seek the Lord, there is nothing that you cannot do in the Lord. There's nothing God will not provide for you and help you. But if you're a Christian parent, take your responsibility as a parent very seriously so you don't repeat Solomon's mistake, who never mentored his son for leadership, who never taught him how to have responsibility, who never taught him how to work, who never taught him how to treat people, who never taught him how to be kind to others and to consider other people's situations in life and how to have compassion on people. He obviously never taught him any of those things, but he raised him in privilege and wealth and basically spoiled him and allowed him to just be living a lavish lifestyle so that when he took the throne, he didn't even know how to speak to people. And so his decisions were very unwise. And it wasn't until he humbled himself before the Lord that God was able to help him be a better leader. And we see that he did become a better leader later on in his reign when he humbled himself before the Lord. So let's take today's lessons from this historical passage in Israel's history and realize it's important to be a parent that mentors our children for their future life, but it's also important for us personally to set our hearts to seek the Lord, and God is able to help us no matter where we are in life because we have done this, and God will bless that. And remember this important lesson from King Rehoboam's life. He made his mistakes because he did not set his heart to seek the Lord personally. And that's a word to all of us. Let us all be people who have purpose in our hearts. We're going to seek the Lord every day of our life. Every day we have breath, we're going to seek God and ask Him for guidance and assistance and help, wisdom, favor for our lives so we can walk in the ways of the Lord and teach our children to do the same. God bless you and give you a victorious week.